Come on in. I think we still have seats. I hope we're better off here than we were in the hotel, so that we've got a seat for everybody instead of a portion of you sitting on the floor yesterday. In fact, if you're here to hear Lynn and Mike, you're in the wrong room. So if you're here to hear Pastor Goya, but Lynn and Mike have moved across to Terrace. Yeah, looks like we've got enough seats today. Well, we're so glad that you are here. My name is Steve Beats. I'm the pastor of the Thomasville and Lexington churches here in North Carolina. I trust you slept well.
Oh, yeah.
And I never sleep well this is my second night here. Many of you, maybe this is your, you've had two nights. I never sleep well the first night. I even take my pillow. I go nowhere without my pillow. My pillow and I are in an intimate relationship. And so I never leave home without it. It's more important than the American Express card is my pillow. The first night, my pillow and I did not sleep well. It's not that Lake Genalesca has poor accommodations. I think it's just me. But last night, my pillow and I slept fine. And so I'm excited to be here at camp meeting today. We want to welcome you to Pastor Goya's seminar. I know that you are going to be blessed. Just a few announcements. We are taping, not only here at camp meeting are we taping this seminar, but all the seminars are being taped. And you can get them the next day on the Carolina Conference webpage. You can listen to them. You're also going to be able to buy them. You can buy them at the Adventist Book Center, and then they will mail the CDs to you. So all of our seminars are being taped this year, as long as I get everything hooked up right anyway. And we'll hope for the best. But we got more chairs over here, I believe. We don't want anybody sitting on the floor today like we did yesterday. I know you do. We have to tape them first. Again, we are so glad that you are here at camp meeting. Why don't we begin with a word of prayer? Our loving Father in heaven, we thank you that we can be here this morning. Thank you for the beautiful sunshine, this beautiful place that we can meet. Father, we ask that you be with Pastor Goya this morning. Continue to give him the wonderful inspiration that he can share with us, and so that we can also be inspired. Father, we know that you are so good. We have learned that not only were you good to me last night in my pillow when we slept well, you were good to me when I did not sleep so well. God is always good. Be with us now as we enjoy Pastor Goya's presentation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
Before we start, a few people asked me a few questions walking from the other building. If you have questions, let's address a few questions right now, and we may do a few more at the end. But let's try to answer those couple of questions that they asked me on the way. So one would be?
Yes, I was really curious about what DVDs.
She said, what DVDs do we use in Lexington? So let me tell you the bad news. Doesn't matter. If you would trust what I say, we tried different DVDs. We tried Amazing Facts. And we tried It Is Written. And we tried Discovery in Prophecy, and we tried Come Alive and Stay Alive, and we tried Thunder in the Holy Land. Doesn't matter. All of them, do you hear me? Okay. All of them, if you don't enter, that's good to sit down, huh? If you don't enter the house, you will not get those people. And any DVD,
If you enter the house and build some friendship, you'll get those people. So basically, there is no magic DVD. And let me finish 1 second, and then you ask again. There are some differences between DVDs. If you ask me this type of technical question, I'm going to answer that way. For instance, Come Alive and Stay Alive are more appropriate for Baptist, Methodist, people who are very, very, very grace-oriented and don't want to hear about the law, because they present the doctrines from a grace perspective. Thunder in the Holy Land is the best one if you have a group, 2, 3, 4, 5 people, not 1-to-1, because at the end of the study, it has good questions. Amazing Facts is very good for those that have been in touch with Adventists. They left the church, they are from an Adventist family, they have Adventist relatives. Amazing Facts are the best for that category. However, in every case, if you don't enter the house, 0 results. Okay.
Okay. Are these sermons like evangelistic meetings?
No. Bible studies. Excuse me. I don't want to cough in the mic, but I talked at 7 for the pastors and then at 8 in the other building, and now, so I had 2-3 surgeries on my vocal cords, and I have to pay attention. I cannot force my voice. So in 1 second, so they are Bible studies going through the doctrines one by one. Okay, yes. Okay, that's a wonderful question. What do you do whole night when you pray the whole night? What do you say? That's a good question. So let me say this. Do not plan to start big because you may not be ready to start big. Start slow, but start. That's the key. Start. Basically, start with half an hour, and then as you do that, you increase to 1 hour. And as you do that, increase to 1.5 hours, and it may take you 2 years to get there. Don't push it if you are not there yet. Because you need to have a relationship. My wife and I, when we started to date each other, we didn't spend 10 hours first time. But right now we spend 24/7 for the last 30 years, okay? So basically what I am saying, you may not be ready for that. Start slow and it's going to grow on you. First, secondly, we think that prayer is about talking. I am going to answer that because that is my presentation for today. So I will answer it more than you want to hear. Prayer is not about talking. Prayer is about listening. And do you know how to talk? We don't know how to listen. No offense, but that's who we are. We very seldom listen, very few people. Most of us talk. And prayer is about listening. So you need to learn how to listen first. And I will talk about that today. Thirdly, when you do that, don't plan to pray the whole night. Just have a plan of what you do. And as you do that, let time, don't plan, I need to eat my spinach because it's healthy. Because that's going to be a little hard. It's like my kids, I don't want spinach. Oh, it's healthy for you, it has iron. Doesn't work. Just do what you plan, what you have in mind. I have in mind to pray for these 5 people and for these things. Do that. And add more for tomorrow. And see how long it takes. That's what my son asked me. And I told him, pray for this and that and that and see how long it takes. And as he did that, he told me 1/2 hour and then 1 hour. He told me after a while, it takes about 2 hours now. It took him 2 years to get there, but he prays every morning about 2 hours. So it takes time. Relationships don't happen overnight. They grow in time. You follow me? It's natural. And going from there, and then I will stop and then continue during the presentation. Going from there, I want you to know, very important, that prayer is not always what you plan to pray,
but it's what God gives you to pray. And this is a tough one. Listen carefully. Pray for what to pray before you pray for what you pray. Pray for what to pray before you pray for it. Pray for what to pray before you pray for what you pray. Basically, what it means, Romans says that the Holy Spirit has to work because we don't even know. It doesn't say how. In Greek, it says what to pray. Basically, we think we should pray for this. And God says, no, really, actually, you should pray for that. You follow me? Therefore, we need to spend a good amount of time to ask God what we really need. It doesn't help you to search your heart because you are not able to discover your heart. Therefore, you say, Lord, search my heart. Lord, tell me what I need. Tell me what to pray for. And God is going to show you things that you don't know. So that's another part of the prayer. You follow me? Okay, another question. And then we start. Okay? When you do intercessory prayer, do you mention each one? Absolutely yes. Now, no offense. I am glad you asked the question. But prayer like, God be with the poor, God be with the soldiers, those are no prayers. I'm sorry, I don't want to offend anybody. Unless you are specific, prayer doesn't work. Unless, deci, generic prayers are no prayers. They are duty, forms. Unless you are specific, prayer doesn't work. Therefore, it takes the whole night. Because if you are specific and you have a list of 20 people, that's going to take 1 hour, just the 20 people alone. Because you don't say, God be with Jim and Mary, and then amen. If you really care, you go one by one and go into details. You follow me? For instance, when your daughter, your son, is in trouble, and you pray for them, you say, God be with Jim. You pray. You go through details because you care. The same, we cannot expect to love people. Oh, I love everybody. That's baloney. We love self. We don't love anybody. I mean, it's easy. Hey, how are you doing? How are you? Good. Oh, nice weather. Yeah, nice weather. Your job, good. Your family, God bless you. Bye. Those are a bunch of lies. We are not good. If you ask them privately, I mean, I talked to a guy in the parking a few Sabbaths ago. How are you doing? I'm good. How are you doing? Good. Your family? Good. He's in divorce. I mean that. His wife filed for divorce, and he tells me that he's good. And I asked him privately, I said, what do you mean you are good? I said, how is your family? Hey, well, that's the way we greet each other. Hello, that's not a greeting. I asked you, how is your family? Oh, no, Pastor, it's just a greeting. You follow me? If you really care, this is how you care for people. You pray for them in detail. You invest time because you cannot help their divorce. You cannot help their bankruptcy. You cannot help them, but you can pray. We say, I cannot help you, and if we help, we give them $20. That's easy. What is most difficult is to invest time and pray for them. What you help them doesn't really make a difference. When you pray for them, that makes a difference. But not anemic prayer. That doesn't make a difference. That doesn't do anything. When you invest time, and now this is the key. When you pray for them a lot, what happens? The more you pray and invest, the more you care. And without realizing, you start caring for those people. You start loving those people. And then you pray more. And then God starts working. And you see real changes in their life. And therefore, it takes time to pray. Because if you pray for your family in detail, and you pray for 15 people, I never have a list bigger than 20 names. I cannot. Because it takes too long. And I allocate, let's say, 3 months, and then I get other 20 people. And then 3 months, and then I take... And for some people that are family and friends, I pray longer. The others, 3 months, done. Next. Yes, because there are others who need prayer. If they didn't do anything in 3 months, somebody else. Rarely I do different if I see that they struggle and they work on it. But if they don't, it's like I go in the water and the boat sunk and there are 5 people. I want to save them, and they say, leave me alone. I'm going to leave them alone. Save somebody who needs salvation. Basically, if you pray for your family and pray for your church and pray for 20 friends in detail for all of them, specific, it's going to take you 2, 3, 4 hours. You follow me? I think I answered more than you bargained for. Okay.
How do you integrate Bible study in your prayer life?
How do you integrate study of the Bible in prayer? Let me explain. That's a good question. Prayer is not what you think. Talking. For me, prayer is listening and studying the Bible in the same time. For me, prayer and study are one. I study during prayer and I pray during study. I do them together. Moreover, I don't study the way people study. For instance, somebody may think they study because they read 5 chapters from the Bible today. I don't do that. I used to and got nothing. No offense. You may have a better way than me. Do it. I tell you what I do. That's not the rule. That's what I do. Okay? I learned that if I read a lot, I get a little. And the more I read, the less I get. So instead of reading a lot and getting a little, I read a little and pray a lot and get a lot. So how I do it? I pray and then take the Bible and take literally one paragraph, 2, 3 Bible verses. I don't read a chapter a day. I don't read half of a chapter. I read one paragraph. And then pray over it a minute, labor over it, and then read it again, and then pray over it, and then read it again, and pray over it, and then read it again, and then ask questions. What if I was there? And really tell the story like I was there. Literally, if you were the 3 young men, one of them, imagine that you are there. Close your eyes and really live those moments. What would you do? And then I ask questions. What if they told me that they throw me in the fire? What if? What if? I ask stupid questions. The more, the better. And then I ask, what would the church say? What would my family say? What would the city do? Would they put me in prison? How would I react? What would I pray? I ask questions about that paragraph. And then pray again. And then I read something related to that paragraph. A quotation from the Spirit of Prophecy that explains that paragraph. And then pray again. And I read the paragraph on an average of 15 to 20 times, the same paragraph. Now, you don't have to be smart, but if you read a paragraph 20 times, you got it. Repetition is the mother of memorization. If you read a paragraph 20 times, you got it. Now, let me tell you, if you read a lot and get nothing, how could it benefit? But if you read a paragraph 20 times, and tomorrow another paragraph 20 times, and next day, after 20 years of being an Adventist, you have the whole Bible in your memory. That's the reason it says, I hide thy word into my heart, that I may not sin against you. That's a recipe against sin. Because when you hide, in Hebrew, it doesn't say, I hide your word into my heart. It says, quote, I store. That's the Hebrew translation. When I prepare a sermon, I do word by word translation by myself. I store your word into my heart. That means it's not enough to read it. You got to memorize it. And what happens? This is what happens. It may not make a difference today or tomorrow, but after 10 years, you have so much stored of God's word that whatever you go through, there is a Bible verse that is appropriate to your challenge, to your need, to your temptation, to your problem, to your struggle. And whatever you go through, God is going to remind you the Bible verse that would give you strength and help for that need. Whatever somebody would ask you, God would remind you a verse that would be the answer to that question. The Holy Spirit has to recall, but there is no way to recall if you didn't put it in. You follow me? And then it comes, it keeps coming. And when I study, it connects with the other one and the other one because they are all there. Secondly, it develops your memory because you do that today, you do that tomorrow. After 5 years, your memory is perfect. You follow me? It's a lot of blessing. So many blessings in one. When you don't read a lot, when you repeat the same thing many times,
and pray over it. That's the way to study, in my opinion. You know how connections, how those, however you call them, synapses. When you read a lot, you don't get that. Psychology says that you have to repeat something 7 times or more to form a synapsis. So you read it many times, and then it's in. And then it connects with the others from yesterday or from a week ago. Does it make any sense? Yeah. I hope you got it. Amen. No more questions. That's it. We start, we ask questions at the end, okay? Done. Let's bow our heads again, and then we start. Father, again, we pray that you'll be with us through this study. And we pray for your spirit, and we pray that we apply it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So yesterday, we stopped at the second part, Thy Kingdom Come. You remember? And we said, number one, hallowed be thy name means to sanctify his name in our life. Thy kingdom come means God's kingdom real today, not at the second coming, but every day. Okay? Now we go to the next point. Thy will be done. And then we deal in detail with your question. Thy will be done. When we say may your will be done, for us, it's a formula, kind of, may your will be done, amen. That's the way we finish prayer. We don't think about it, we don't mean it. We think we mean it, but we don't mean it. Because if God did his will, we'll not be very happy. Because we have our plan, we have our agenda, and that's what we want God to do. And we tell him what is our plan, and we push him over the limits. We twist his arm and pester him to death to do what we want him to do. And if he doesn't do it, we lose our faith. And we get discouraged. And I could give you examples. I know somebody who prayed for a job and after about 2 years said, I'm discouraged, God doesn't answer. And I said, so you tell me that your faith depends on answers instead of relationship? Think about it. Should faith depend on blessings and answers or on relationship? You see my point? Somebody told me, I am sick, I have been praying, and it's getting worse. I'm discouraged. We depend on answers instead of depending on relationships. Therefore, we should work on relationship. Our prayer should be focused not on getting blessings, not on solving problems, not on getting answers. Our prayer should be focused on relationship. Therefore, when we say, may your will be done, we need first to know that will and then to pray for it. Does it make any sense? Therefore, before you say, may your will be done, you need to spend time in prayer to learn that will. For instance, in the Lexington Church, we talked about God's will. Well. And they said, we think that we should come in time to church. We think that we should paint the parking. We think that we should fix the cracks in the parking. And I said, oh, wonderful. Those are good things. Is that God's will? Oh, yes, they are good things. I said, folks, good things don't mean God's will. When God told Abraham to sacrifice his son, was it good or bad? It was terrible. God doesn't give you good things. Your mind gives you good things. God gives you crazy things. Oh, yes. Show me in the Bible when God told them good things. God told Abraham to leave his country, leave everything and go. Was that good? If God told you today to leave your home in Carolina and wherever you live and go, would that be good for you? When God gives you, he gives you crazy things. Therefore, God doesn't answer prayers. Because if he did, you will not even hear, you will not even listen. Therefore, you need to pray a lot to be in tune with God's will, to get to know him, to get to trust him, and then he can tell you the crazy thing. Do you follow me? God cannot answer because we are not ready to obey. We need to build a relationship that leads to trust, and then after you trust him, then he can tell you what to do. Abraham had a relationship with God, and God told him to sacrifice his son. Therefore, you cannot pray for something before you pray for relationship and spend time. Secondly,
Before you pray that you know His will, and then you pray to do it. It's a logical order. So, when you say, may your will be done, that's what they told me in Lexington. We fixed the parking, it has cracks. I said, is that God's will? Yes. Why? Because it's good. I said, hey, God's plans, the Bible says, are as far as heaven from earth, from our plans. Are you sure that God's plan is to fix the parking? Oh, yes. How do you know? Well, we think it's good. You think? That's not good. So I called them to come to my house. Come over. Bring food and come over. They did. A bunch of them came. I told them that if they do, my wife is going to bring some, is going to cook some food. I had a water bottle that I started. Oh, this is it. Thank you. You see, who knows? So, empty, next. So, they came. And I told them, I want you to pray and write on a piece of paper five things that you believe God told you that we should do in Lexington. Guess what they did? Amen. Okay. I said, is this all? Everybody done? Done. Give me the papers. They gave me the papers. I didn't even read them. I opened the fireplace door and threw them in the fire. I did that. It's mean. But you got to be mean to get their attention. If not, they think that you joke. Because they have been joking all their life. Playing religion. And this is no... We cannot play religion. We cannot afford to play with the Holy Spirit. So I threw them in the fire, literally. And they're like, what are you doing? Those are our ideas. I said, that's the problem. I said, get out. Go in the forest. We have 50 acres. Take a walk, take 2 hours, and pray, and don't come back before God tells you what to do. And if God doesn't tell you, don't come back. Keep walking and praying. And you plead with the Lord until you get ticks from head to toes. And when you are full of ticks, and you cannot stand anymore, then you come in. You don't come back before God tells you what is His plan, not your plan. Don't tell me about parking. Come with big things, because God is not small. Parking is small. God is big. Come with big things. If you come with small things, those are your things. If you come with big things, those are God's things. I don't have a small God. Amen. And they looked to me and they said, Pastor, but I said, don't bother me. Just go. Just go and pray and don't come back. And they were like, whoa, okay. And I said, you don't do it? Next week we meet again. I'm not going to give you a break before you do it. They left. In about 1 hour, they started to come back slowly, one by one, heads down, thinking a lot. There was smell of burnt brain, you know. And so they came back, and I said, put five things on a piece of paper. If they are small, I'm going to throw it in the fire. Now they do believe. They did believe. So they put on a piece of paper five things. It was big. It was so big, to be honest, it scared me. I mean it. They said, we want our television. I said, are you crazy? And they said, you told us that God wants crazy things. Yeah, I did. We want our own radio station. We want to have, they didn't have evangelists for many years. We want to have one or two evangelistic series a year. We want to give at least 200 Bible studies every year until we finish the whole city. We want to plant another 4 churches. We want to do this. We want to do that. Like, wow! We don't have the people. We don't have the money. It's too much. It's too big. And they said, didn't you tell us that God has to give us big plans? And didn't you say that if God gives us the plan, He will bless it and He will provide the means? Yes, I said that. Then this is it. We pray for it. And I didn't accept it. I didn't have enough faith. And I didn't pray enough. And I discouraged them. And I took only 3 things from their list. And said, that's it. We don't do more. When we finish this, we do more. And they left kind of unhappy with me. After I took 3 things that were doable, I was wrong. After I did that, next day, I flew for a meeting with the North American division. I was speaking on prayer. And after I was done speaking, I go to my hotel room. I'm picky. I never lost a key or a telephone in my life. I never dropped a telephone or broke a telephone in my life. I am picky, picky, crazy picky. And my wife says, you are exaggerated, you are sick. You need to relax. And so that was a first time for me. I ruined my telephone. I got my telephone out, put it on the table, took my water cup, put it beside the telephone, then took my laptop to check my emails, opened it, hit the cup, and spilled the cup over the telephone. Oh, I had pain in my stomach because I never broke anything in my life. And I always tell my wife, how do you do it? How did you drop the phone in the tub, in the water? How do you do that? The next one, she forgot it out, it rained on it. How do you do that? I lost the car keys. This is the third car key that you lose. How do you do that? I never ruined the phone in my life. So I took the battery out. I cleaned it. I used the hair dryer to dry it. I put it in a bag of rice. Dead. I prayed for resurrection. Dead. So I asked Ruthie Jacobson. I said, Ruthie, would you give me your cell phone to call my wife? Okay. I got the phone from Ruthie Jacobson. I called my wife. I said, honey, she says, why do you call me on this number? Honey, I ruined my cell phone. She said, praise the Lord. I said, are you crazy? What's wrong with you? And she says, I've been praying that you do something like that. She said, now you cannot tell me anymore that you didn't destroy anything and ever. Now you give me a break. I was guilty. Kept quiet. After I was done talking to her, I gave Ruthie her cell phone back and I checked my emails. And then I pray and want to go to sleep. When I pray, I could not pray. Lord, what do you want me to pray for? I could not pray. I said, what's wrong? And God, please tell me what is wrong. And it came in my mind. You oppose my plans. You told them to pray and you didn't pray. When I gave them the plans, you opposed me. You fight against me. And I said, Lord, if I did that, I'm sorry. I ask forgiveness, and I promise I will confess before the church and ask forgiveness and fix it. I have no problem to ask forgiveness because I was guilty. And that's what a leader should do. Not avoid politicians. They never do mistakes. They never be honest. So that goes a long way, honesty. People honest get forgiveness right away. And they repent. People who never are honest, they never repent. Politicians never change. Yeah, unfortunately. So I said, Lord, after asking forgiveness, now since you showed me that I was wrong, would you help me fix it? Would you fix it for me? And I got peace in my heart. As soon as I said amen, my dead phone started to ring. Hold on a second. This is not the end. This is the beginning. So it was a guy who says, Pastor, I'm not your church member in Lexington. I'm in a different church. He told me the name and the church. He said, God inspired me to build a radio station, but my church has only 30 people. Your church is doing a lot right now, Bible studies and this and that and that. If I give you the room and the donation of $10,000, and the room is free, free of rent, free of charge, free of utilities, it's just yours. And I put it on paper. I make a contract that I give you the room. Would you start a radio station? It's one of the points that I said no. And then he says goodbye. And I look to the phone. And please believe me, the phone was dead. I mean it. I said, I looked at the phone. I said, hey, the phone works. I'm going to call my wife. I look, the phone is off. And it doesn't turn on. And I take the battery out, put it back in, try to turn it on. It doesn't turn on. And then I get a second phone call on a dead phone. It is a lady who is not an Adventist. And she says, I used to work at local cable TV Charter in Lexington. I am retired. I used to put the religious program every day. And she says, I am retired and they do a very poor job. And I heard about what is happening in your church. If I give you 4 hours a week for free, you know how much is 1 hour on the local cable TV? Do you have any clue?
No.
We talk about 7,000 to 15,000 a year for 1 hour, and you'd get bad hours. To get in Lexington a top hour, you pay over $15,000 a year. And that's not 1 hour a day. That's 1 hour a week. She said, I give you 4 hours a week to begin with for free. And if I like what you do, I'm going to talk to them and give you 1 hour each day. That's 7 hours a week. And if I like what you do, I'm going to give you 2 hours a day. And she said, this is free. I just want to see how you perform. And I close my phone on a dead phone. And it rings again. And it's the conference. We want to do a pilot project to do canvassing. But we don't want to do it in a church that doesn't work. We want to do it in a church that works. So we'll do it in your church. We put the money. We put the group from the academy, the youth. Would you allow us to do it? And I closed my phone, and every single point that I said no to them, every single point, within 1 hour, I got it all for free on a dead phone. Because God cannot fix it before we repent it. And after we repent, then God works. And then I went back to my church after I was done, after 3 days at the NAD. I went back to my church, and Saturday, before my sermon, I said, folks, I have to make a confession. I got this group, there were about 40 people, to my house. We ate together, we had good time, we prayed, and I told them to pray for God's plan. Do not try to implement your plan. You have done that for 100 years. It doesn't work. Pray until God gives you the plan, and then it's going to work. And when God gives you the plan, it's going to be big and crazy. If it's not big and crazy, it's not God's. And I said, they did. They were good people. They prayed. They came back. And I was like, man, this is too big and too much. We don't have the money. No. And I said, no. And God actually worked in my heart. And he showed me that I was wrong. He rebuked me. So I repented. I asked forgiveness. And this is what he did. And I told them the story of the dead phone. And said, now we got to implement what you prayed for. And this is the list, all the list with everything that I said yes and no. And I put it before the church on the screen. This is the list. God says that we should have TV, that we should have radio, that we should... And they were like, the whole church, oh, pastor, this is too big. I said, yeah, it's from God. It's not big. It's impossible. But you know, there is nothing impossible to God. Okay. So we applied. I'm going to give you one example. We applied for radio. We learned that if you are rejected, you cannot, by law, apply for 10 years, and then you can apply again. To FCC, you apply once. If you are rejected, 10 years later. Well, well, well. We applied, and there were 4 frequencies available in Lexington, and there were 16 different institutions applying, competing for the 4. You follow me? So, in order to qualify, the more points you have, the more chances you have. The maximum, you could have 10 points. We had 2 points. Everybody else had 5 or more points. So we were rejected. Top 4 out of 16 got approved, each one with a frequency. We got rejected. The FCC, the government, sent us a letter that we were rejected. And they say, please, you need to withdraw your application and you cannot apply again 10 years. And my folks, we believe this is from God. We are wrong. I said, hey, slow down. It is from God. If it was not from God, it would have been easy. But in my Bible, every time it's from God, every time Satan attacks. If Satan doesn't attack you, that's plan is yours. It's not God's. When Satan attacks you, then you know it's God's plan. You follow me? So I said, hold on a second. When God told them to leave Egypt, was it easy? No.
Egypt came after them. You remember? You don't leave Egypt easy. It's going to come after you. And then you get in front of the Red Sea. And then you get attacked by Amalekites. And then, you remember? Not easy. So I said, now we talk business. When Satan attacks, what are you supposed to do? Give up or pray? Because the bigger the challenge, the bigger the prayer, then the bigger the miracle. Big challenge doesn't mean that you are a loser. Means that you pray more. And the big challenge means a big victory, a big miracle. So I said, no, we don't give up. And my board says, Pastor, this is American government. You obviously don't know our rules. I said, folks, you obviously don't know God's rules. Pastor, when they say no, it's no. It's law. Law cannot change. I said, that cannot change for you. My God can change the law. I don't care what you say. God told us to do radio. We do radio. Pastor, you don't know to take no for an answer. I said, no, and I'll never take no for an answer when God tells me to do it. They were like, oh, okay. It was June. I kept praying and praying and praying and praying with no answer, with no hope. And I asked a few of my church members who were prayer warriors to join me in prayer. And we kept praying and praying and praying and praying. Nothing happened. December 15, between June and December, nothing happened. I said, Lord, you told me to do radio. I will not give up prayer before you do radio. In December 15th, we got a letter from the government. We apologize, we are wrong. Listen carefully. Everybody out of 16, 4 got approved, and 12, 11 of them withdrew their application. My board told me to take the application back from the government. I said, no, we sent it there, leave it there until they approve it. Pastor, you need to withdraw the application. No, leave it there. December 15, we got a letter. Our machines were wrong. There were 5 frequencies, not 4. We just didn't see the 5th. And since the other 11 withdrew their application, they all had more points. If they didn't withdrew, they would have taken the 5th one. But they say, because they withdrew their application, there is no competition. By default, this frequency is yours. I told the church, this is the letter. God is real. Amen. God never changes. God does miracles. Yeah. So we have a frequency. It's ours. Now we need the money. We have the room. We have 10,000. We need 27,000 more. I give you 3 months to raise the money. Because when the FCC approves you, you have 18 months to be on the air. If not, you lose it. And 10 years, you cannot apply. I said, we need 3 months to raise the money and 1 year to build it, to be on the air. And then we have 3 months reserve if things go bad. The church was so excited. In 3 literal weeks, we had 54,760. Way more than I asked for. Because when God works, people get excited. And people do give where they see that it's God. They don't give when they don't know. But when they feel that it's a good cause, they do sacrifice. Trust me. I've seen it again and again. We got the money. We got the room. We got the frequencies. We purchased all the equipment. We installed it in less than a month. We were on the air. But it was small. It was a low power. It would reach only about 5 miles radius. And I said, this is not God. This is too small. God is big. We need to reach Lexington. So let's pray for big. And they said, this is what we got approved. So just don't give me that baloney. Pray for big. We started to pray. The FCC called us back. And they said, we did a mistake. For some reason, we gave you 5 miles. We need to double it from 40 watts to 80 watts. So now we have 8 miles. The church, praise the Lord, now we are good. I said, no, you're not good. Pray for about 100 miles. Let's pray for a powerful station. So we started to pray now. We are in the process of praying, and I just learned that there is a possibility to get to jump from 80 to 250 watts. And that's what we pray for. Folks, there is never a limit to what God can do.
But you cannot say, may your will be done before you know his will. You cannot just assume it's his will and make your plans, good plans, nevertheless, and then go and do them. And there is no blessing and there is no growth, no difference. The church just keeps dying. You got to pray for God's will. You cannot. My wife talks to me. I don't believe in American football. I don't like it. No offense. It's that, for I don't understand it. But soccer, that's real game. When Brazil and Spain, Real Madrid, when they play soccer, I watch it. When I watch soccer, my wife's, no offense, folks, you know, it's just, that's, everybody likes something different, so, you know. So, when I watch soccer, don't come and talk to me because I'm not going to listen. It's like when I eat. When I eat, leave me alone, you know. So, I'm watching soccer. And my wife comes and says, my wife says, would you do this and that, a honey-do list, you know? And I'm like, And it bothers me because I'm watching, you know? And she says, are you listening? And I say, huh? This is what we do in prayer. We never listen. We have our mindset. In order to do his will, you need to get his list. You follow me? Then he can bless. So you first pray for what to pray, and then you pray for it. You follow me? Ask for his will, and ask serious, and spend time, and don't give up. And after God tells you the plan, then you pray for it. It must be God's plan. And after you pray for it, then you do it. And then you expect big miracles happening because it was God, not you. That's the way to work. For instance, there is a lady. Now, I have a friend here from Wisconsin who knows that lady very well. There is a lady in one of the churches in Wisconsin. She's a good lady, but she talks quite a lot. Jeff, where are you, man? Okay, you know who I'm talking about. She talks quite a lot in one of the churches in Wisconsin. She's a good lady. Her husband is a board member. It's an elder. And she started a community center. And that lady, I gave the prayer seminar in Delavan. And that lady came to me and said, Pastor, how do you listen in prayer? And in my mind, I said, yep, you never listen. You always talk. But I didn't say it because I am polite, you know. I'm kind of, okay. And so I told her how I listen, how I pray. And she said, that's kind of difficult. And I said in my mind, for you, yes. But I didn't say it loud. Okay, we still have time. And so I told her how I listen. I don't just amen. Because prayer is the breath of the soul, it says in Steps to Christ. Let me ask you, how do you breathe? Always out or you also breathe in? Let me ask you, when do you breathe in prayer? Because you always amen, bye. Although I know, I learned since I was a kid that prayer is a dialogue. You know what dialogue means? It's not like those friends that he always talks and never listens. That's not friendship. Prayer is a dialogue. You talk, God listen. God talks, you listen. It says in Isaiah, he awakens my ear, not my mouth. He awakens my ear to listen, not to talk. Do you know the Bible verse? He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple listens. Prayer, it's about listening. It says also in Psalm, every morning I lay my request before the Lord and then I wait quietly. When do you wait quietly? It says in Psalm, do not bring the sacrifice of the fools, comma, many words. That's in the Bible. Ellen White says, God knows everything, comma, our prayers are not to inform him. What can you tell him that he doesn't know? Moreover, we don't try to tell him. We try to convince him like he doesn't care. That's because we don't know him. If we knew him, we would not feel the need to inform him or to convince him. Will you know that he knows? And do you know that he wants to help more than we want him to help? But we don't know him, and we don't know him because we don't trust him, because we don't know him, and we don't know him because we don't pray enough. Okay, so I told the lady, listening and real prayer is not when you talk and say amen and go. It's not also stupid, nonsense, oriental meditation. That says that you got to empty your brain. I cannot do that. My brain goes all the time crazy in all directions. I got to die to empty my brain. As long as I am alive, unless I sleep, my brain goes. Don't tell me to empty my brain. Oh, you fix your eye on the middle eye. I have two. I don't have one in the middle. Then how do you do it? Meditation. The Bible is full. Day and night I meditate upon your word. Doesn't? Ellen White, I put the quotations. I have them with me. About 4 or 5 pages. All of them about meditation. For instance, Desire of Ages. When every voice is hushed, the quietness of our soul makes possible to hear the voice of God. He says, be still and know that I am God. Amen. Then she says, when we quietly listen and meditate to God's word, he can talk to us, she says. Meditation is not about emptying your brain. It's about filling your brain with God. Every time the Bible talks about meditation, every time the spirit of prophecy talks about meditation, it gives you the object of your meditation. And it tells you to meditate upon his word, to meditate upon his law, to meditate upon his sacrifice. Ellen White says that you should meditate upon the last week of Jesus' life. You remember that quotation? It gives you the object of your meditation. It's not about emptying your brain. It's about filling it with God. So that's what you do when you study. Read a little and then think about it. That's meditation. And pray over it. And then read it again and think about it and ask questions and pray over it. That's meditation. That's the healthy one, not the oriental one. Okay? So I talked to the lady, back to the story, because I know where we are. I talked to the lady, back to the story. And I said, that's how you listen. You don't just talk, 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 amen, and go. You pray, you think, you read, you pray. Give God a chance to talk. Okay? And she says, what if he doesn't talk? That's okay. You don't do this for him to talk. You do this as a lifestyle. You don't breathe so God would talk. You breathe because you need to survive. You follow me? This is the way to pray, regardless if God would talk or not. You cannot tell God to talk. He's the boss. He talks whenever he wants. But you got to listen every day, because if he talks and you don't listen, you miss it. You need to keep listening, and when he talks, you hear it. Okay? For instance, I'm driving between Tennessee and Wisconsin, and I pray and listen and think and pray and listen. After 5 hours of driving, I am going through on I-57 through Mount Vernon, where is 3ABN, if you know. As I drive through Mount Vernon, God talks. And he says, call Florin. Now, you don't know Florin. He's a good friend of mine. He talks more than that lady, more than me. He can talk more than anybody I've known in my lifetime. In fact, last time when he called me, he was talking. It was 2 a.m. I was like, and he, hey, listen. He would wake me up because he was not done talking. And so I am driving with my wife, coming back home from Tennessee, going to Wisconsin. That was a few years ago. And God says, call Florin. So I tell my wife, God told me to call Florin. And my wife says, don't call him. I say, why? And she says, last time when you called him, your battery in the cell phone died. He talked until I had no more battery. And she said, don't call him. I said, man, if God said, I got to. Okay. So I called him. It was winter. I had a Toyota Sienna. You know Toyota Sienna vans? It was so much snowing for 2 days and 2 nights. There were cars in the ditch. My car has all-wheel drive. I was going. So I called Florin.
I said, hey, God inspired me to call you. What are you doing? He said, well, I am praying. What are you praying for? Well, I go to mission trip to Cuba. And the bus didn't come. My car is broken. And no church member would give me a ride because they are afraid to drive in the snow. And I am missing my plane. I said, where do you live? He said, exit 109. I said, I can see the exit already. I was approaching exit 109 in Mount Vernon. I told Dana, we go different. We don't go home. Don't try to, I will explain you after. I pull on the exit. I go to Florin, pick him up. Let's go. We have no time. Are you packed? Let's go. I get him to airport to Chicago in time, like 30 minutes before the plane left. He just got in the plane and they closed the door. He baptized 26 people. When you listen, sometimes he doesn't talk. But when he has a need, he will talk. But you need to listen. So, back to the lady. I told the lady, this is how you listen. And she said, I will do it. And she did it, praise the Lord. Very few people do it. But she did it. And then she comes to me and says, I've been praying for 3 months and listening. In the beginning, I got discouraged. But you told me to keep praying like a lifestyle. So I kept praying. And God told me to start a community center. I was like, why would he tell you? I'm the pastor. He didn't tell me. But I didn't say that. I am a polite guy, you know. And I said, God bless you. Go ahead and do it. She talked to the board. The board didn't listen to her. Because she talks a lot. When you talk much, people don't value it. You know, inflation of words. Many words, no value, you know. And so, she's a nice lady. She's a good lady. She's a worker. You would be blessed to have her in your church. I mean, she's a good lady. But the board didn't listen to her. So she comes back to me and she says, you told me to pray. Now you got to help. Why would I tell her to pray? Now I got to help. So she says, when can you come? So we go and look for a community center building for a room. And I told her, well, Thursday morning, 9 o'clock. Okay. Thursday morning, 9 o'clock, I am in Delavan and we started. From door to door, from building to building, looking for a location, looking for a building for us. We didn't find anything. She says, see you next Thursday. I said, no. That's it. She says, no. You told me to pray. Now you got to help. Next Thursday, from 9 to 12, noon, from building to building, nothing. See you next Thursday. I hated her. Next Thursday, from building to building. Next Thursday, from building. We finished Delavan. And then she says, let's go to Elkhorn. Next town, a few miles away. Next Thursday, from building to building. Next Thursday. 6 months. She killed me. I was ready to move. 6 months. Every Thursday, we went together. This building is too small. This building is too big. This building is too expensive. 6 months. Every Thursday, we went together from building to building. I was praying now, Lord, why don't you give her a building so she leaves me alone? And I didn't understand. And I said, should I keep going? And the Lord spoke to me and said, just trust me and keep going. But give us a building. And the Lord said, just trust me. And I didn't get it. Now I know exactly why. And I'm going to tell you why. Nobody knew much about the Adventist church. After 6 months of going through building, every door, we knocked in every door. After 6 months, everybody knew now. And God wanted them to know about us. After 6 months, finally, a guy says, yeah, I can rent you my building. I am bankrupt. I closed my business. It is empty. Why pay taxes for an empty building? I want $3,500 a month. And she says, we can offer only $2,500 a month. And he says, oh, better than nothing. So we signed the papers, and I said, praise the Lord, you don't see me next Thursday. I go. As soon as we signed the papers, I get a phone call from the Kmart in Delavan. And he says, are you Pastor Goya? Yes. And he says, I am the general manager of Kmart. We closed Kmart. Did you get a building? I said, how do you know about the building? He says, everybody knows. He says, did you get a building? I said, we just signed the papers. He says, do you have shelving? I said, no. Okay, we close the Kmart. Come here. I want to help. Pick up as many shelving as you want. We got the shelving.
As soon as I got the shelving, I got a call from the Baptist church in Elkhorn. And they said, you got a building? I said, we did. And they said, we want to give you some clothing, some donations. Do you accept donations? I said, we are Adventists. We accept donations from anybody. Bring it on. And then people started to bring donations. It was so much. When Katrina came, the hurricane, we sent several trucks with help from a small store. We sent help. The local jail called and they said, we want you to do training with people who come from jail and they are in 6 months probation. We want you to do training with them. Then the government called, we want you to handle the food stamps. And then a Presbyterian church called, we want you to do prayer meeting in our church. Then, I mean, it was just one after the other one. I have the newspapers. They put us on a front page on the news. The Adventist church is helping our community, is helping the poor. Then we got so much donations that we had no more room inside, so we put it in the parking. Winter came. It was raining, snowing on our stuff. The next door business, the guy comes to me and says, Pastor, I'm not doing well. So I closed half of my business because it's too expensive to heat. In Wisconsin, it's cold in the winter. It's too expensive to heat the whole building. So I closed half, and I have all my stuff in the front, and the rear half is closed. If you want, put your stuff inside. Don't keep it in the snow outside. And I said, how much do you want a month? He said, nothing. You help so much our community, you can have it for free. Just don't turn the heat on. I said, praise the Lord. We got half of his building. 3 months later, the next door business on the other side comes to me and talks to me and to the lady and says, that guy told me that in 3 months, in half of the building, God bless him more than always in the full building. I'm willing to give you half of my building. Maybe I get a blessing. We got half of the other building. About 6 months, 1 year later, more or less, I don't remember, we purchased the AutoZone because we had no more room. And I could go on and on. Why? Because one lady was willing to listen. Prayer is not about talking. What can you tell God that he doesn't know? It's foolish. What he says is a lot more important than what we say. We got to learn to listen. Therefore, we say, may your will be done. That's not a formula. We got to mean it. We need to know his will, and then we need to be willing to do his will, and then we need to go after it, to do it. You follow me? What time is it? We will never finish. Too many stories. 10:20. Let's have 5 minutes of questions and answers. When you say, may your will be done, you need to learn to listen. And listening is a discipline. Doesn't happen overnight. Because you got to learn to know God's voice, to distinguish God's voice from Satan's voice, from your brain voices. You follow me? How do you know God's voice? You cannot know somebody that you don't talk with. You got to talk a lot in order to learn his voice. For instance, my wife knows that I eat a lot. And she knows that if I don't eat, I start shaking after 2 hours. And I get muscle pain because my metabolism burns everything in 2 hours. I went to the doctor. The doctor said, I'm healthy. It's just that I have a fast metabolism. I cannot help. I got to eat. So my wife calls me every 2 hours. Honey, how are you doing? Good. Go and get a sandwich. Did you get a sandwich? No. Go right now. Get a sub or get a taco or something. Okay. She calls me 2 hours later. Hey, honey, how are you doing? Go and get a sandwich. Okay. 2 hours. Hey, honey, I miss you. I love you. Go and get a sandwich. When I go home, I get on Harp Pike. When I get on Harp Pike, I lose signal. There are big hills and mountains, whatever. I lose signal. The telephone rings. Honey, sandwich. How do I know that is my wife's voice? I know the voice and I know the message. Why? Because we talk all the time. How can you expect to know God's voice if you talk once in a while? You need to talk with him all the time, and slowly you learn his voice and you learn to distinguish the message. That happens in time. Doesn't happen overnight. Does it make any sense? Yeah. Okay. Questions and answers. 5 minutes. Yes.
This morning you outlined a plan for your church that works because everybody prayed and confirmed the job. Do you recommend each individual church have their own set, receive from God, or is your plan pretty much good?
There are, do we recommend each individual to have own plan, or the whole church have a plan? Both. God has a plan for you as an individual or family, and God has a plan for the church. And you need to do both. You need to pray for God's plan for you. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you. That doesn't refer to the plan of salvation. It's plural. Refers to daily plans. Every morning, you make your... Jesus did that. Every morning, he would receive the plans from the Father for the day. Every morning, you pray for God's plan. That's for you. As a church, you get together and pray. Don't expect everybody to come. They will never do. You just get a group who is willing, and you get together. Don't judge the others. That's a bigger sin than breaking the Sabbath. To judge, it's titanism. You make yourself God. In the Bible, only God has the right to judge. When we judge, we make ourselves gods. God called you to love, not to judge. So what you do, leave alone. Those who don't want to pray, pray for them. You get those who want to pray, and pray for God's plan for the church. So it's both. Other question. Okay? The parking lot did get fixed. But those are important. But those will never change or save anybody. You got to first do the important things and then those things. Another question?
So is it possible that when you say God has a plan for me and he has a plan for my church, that you have to be separate?
So do God's plan for me has to be separated from God's plan for the church? No. Could be the same. I don't know. The point is that you must pray to know what God wants. And that can be different from church to church because everybody has a different need. And God knows what works in this city and that may not work in that city. Therefore, you got to pray. Another question. Yes. Okay, we talk about intercessory prayer. There are 8 types of prayer. One of them is intercessory prayer. When you pray prayer of petition, stop bugging God. Stop pestering him with your will. God, help my son get into Loma Linda. That's a wonderful place, but God may have a different plan for your son. If you want him to be a doctor and God wants him to be a chemistry teacher, let God be God. Say, God, I would like this. I present it before you. But may your will be done. I mean it. I will accept your will and trust in you because you know the future and I don't. And accept God's will. But when you pray intercessory prayer, that's different. You pray for somebody's salvation. You don't say, this is it, amen, and then you move on. You keep praying. Why? Because it's a matter of universal justice. What does it mean? In the universe, there is a great controversy that is real. Satan fighting God. In that big controversy, Satan from the beginning accused God of not being just. That's real. And God cannot force people. He gave you freedom of choice. I put good and evil before you. You choose. He gave you the freedom of choice. You don't have the power to overcome, but you do have the power to choose. And when God gave you the freedom of choice, if your friend says no, God has no right to work there. Has to respect his choice. But if you pray daily, it gives God daily opportunities to work. Basically, God says to the universe, I have to because I have to answer her prayer. It gives God opportunity and it also teaches you what to do. Therefore, you pray intercessory prayer every day for the rest of your life. That's a different story, yes. Fasting and prayer. Fasting we use to convince God to answer our prayer. That's the hunger strike. Manipulate God. It's like old movies, big city, big gates, and you come with a ram and hit the gate until it breaks. Fasting we use to hit God until he gives up. Okay. God, the prophet told me that I have to die. Would you give me another 15 years? Okay, God gave the king another 15 years, and he did so much bad stuff in those 15 years. When God says you got to die, you say, I don't like it, but I accept it. If I die, I'm going to see Jesus. May your will be done. Don't argue with God. Fasting is to clear, not to convince God, to clear your mind so God can convince you. Does it make any sense? Now I don't fast because I cannot. My wife does, but not me. But you can fast different ways. You can fast from TV. That's the best possible fasting. You follow me? So, fasting is to clear your mind so God could talk to you. Other questions? One more and that's it. I got to eat. It is written, it's very good for people who like to read. People who like to read books, people who are intellectual, more for adults and elderly. It doesn't work for youth. Now listen carefully. It is written that was in old times. Right now, Shambunstra, who is it? It is written?
John Bradshaw.
John Bradshaw. Okay, let me make a difference. Shambunstra works for secular people. It is written. He was there before.
Voice of prophecy.
Okay. It is written actually that is right now, John Bradshaw, he preaches extremely well, but we did not try it. So I don't know. It's new. I don't have it. I did not try it. So I have to be honest. I don't know. What we used is we started a few years ago and we used the resources that we could find in that time. And we discovered that it doesn't make a difference. So we just keep using them because it's not the resource that makes a difference. It is the friendship. That's the key. And you need to understand that's the key. Okay, no more questions. Let's pray together. I see you tomorrow, okay? Father in heaven, we thank you that you desire so much to have a relationship. You, the God of the universe, want to have a relationship with us to the point that you send Jesus to be among us, Emmanuel, God with us. Please help us to desire that relationship as much as you desire it. Help us to learn how to pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.